Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. We have a great show this morning. We're meeting with Tom Masson, CEO of Aegis Investment Management. And we're going to be talking about a lot of golf opportunities, Par Masters, Lynx Golf Cafe, and Quantum Business Golf Franchise Opportunities. And that's coming up in Segment 2 of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we got a great show.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand, the opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach?
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. How you doing today, Don? Welcome back.
I'm doing great today, Marty. Week's going well. How about yourself?
Going well here, too. Summer's flying by, isn't it? But the weather's finally picked up, and it's been pretty nice here in Pennsylvania, so.
Good. Yeah. Getting
happy about that, yeah.
Summer-like. It's most people's favorite time of the year, so that's nice.
Absolutely. Our last show, Don, we met with John Rando, Lisa Savage, and Marcy Donnelly of the John Rick International Franchise Opportunity. And John Rick International is the pioneer for upscale franchise specialty spas. And I thought it was a great show. It was almost like a party. You're having that many people on
yeah,
the show at one
yeah.
time,
right.
You know. But just very interesting concept. I learned a lot. Interesting show for you?
Yeah, well, I've known John through financing. Uh-huh. I know he's a very talented guy. He's had this business over 20 years. He's very passionate about the business. He's very creative. And, you know, I definitely like some of the things they're doing. I like their flat fee royalty that they charge, which is not the norm in the industry. So that can really help franchisees to keep more of their own money by just having a flat fee type of system rather than a percentage. And of course, I like the flexibility they have with either a kiosk or inline store where they can custom the different services to their local market, which I thought is also unique.
Yeah, we had some nice segues last week because that was one of the articles, I think, that you were talking about in segment one, you know, how a lot of franchisors are kind of figuring out ways to make their retail stores smaller, you know, so you can actually save on cost. And you know, I think the kiosk concept is definitely an interesting way to do it. So, yeah, I was absolutely interested in that. You know, one of the things I like, too, I don't know if you caught on to this, or if you remember, if you go back a couple years ago when we had Aaron's Sales and Lease on our show, accountants were very big on that particular type of opportunity. And, you know, John was talking about one of his franchisees being an accountant, and he was kind of surprised that the accountant would want to, you know, buy that type of franchise because, you know, I mean, it's a little different from what an accountant typically does. You'd picture, like, an accountant going into, like, a Liberty Tax or something like that. And, you know, so that's always a good sign to me. When I see an accountant says, you know what, I want to go into this type of franchise opportunity, you know that they've analyzed the numbers and things like that, you know, and they said, you know what, this makes sense. So that was a hot button for me as well.
Right.
It's not just for women either, you know. I mean, you brought up an interesting point. I think you asked the question, you know, I mean, are men buying this franchise opportunity as well? Or is
I mean, it's a day spa, and it's doing a lot of things that most women frequent and who are the customers.
Uh-huh.
But, yeah, John certainly went over how many men are franchisees for this
getting
franchise.
Involved in it, yeah. Yeah, so it does. It seems like a very interesting opportunity, and I think there's going to be a lot of growth with their franchise as well over the next year. So, again, I'd like to keep my eye on them, you know, and definitely have them back as they continue to grow, you know. So, what do you think?
They got a great website showing a lot of their international locations, a lot of how their different spas and kiosks look. It's really nice.
It's interesting how he got into the whole thing, too. You know, a lot of times we'll ask, how did you get into this, you know? And he said, you know, he admitted, he said, I was a ski bum, you know? And, you know, this provided him with an opportunity to, you know, travel and
right.
all these things that he wants to do, you know? So, yeah, but great opportunity. So he did a great job. So what do we got going on today?
Today, Marty, Tom Matson, CEO of Aegis Investment, and they have basically under their golf franchising company, they have a few different concepts. They have Par Masters Golf Training Centers, Lynx Golf Cafe, and Quantum Business Golf. So excited to hear all about that and how these franchises are getting people, you know, making them some money and then making people, you know, better at their golf game.
Right, absolutely. This is definitely interesting. I'm looking forward to this. I know my dad's probably listening in right now. You know, he used to be a big golf player and
right.
You know, so I think there's a lot of golf players out there that this would be a great match for, you know.
Good
so,
time to have this show. I mean, there's a lot
it
of
sure is.
Golf going on, big tournaments.
I don't know if you know this, but I live in a golf community. There's a golf course, like, right in here. It's just Morgan Hill, and it's a great golf course. Again, I wish I played golf at times because it's all on a hill. It's just on a mountain. If you can picture playing golf on a mountain,
right,
that's what it is, you know. So it's really wild. So I like to watch, you know, as I'm at the pool, I can actually watch, you know, the golfers play, and it is a fascinating game. I haven't picked it up because I just think it would take me too long to learn. I don't know if you feel the same way, you know.
It's the same with me, but I have a lot of people I know who play. It's very popular. I just never done it. In my town, we have 5 golf courses.
Yeah,
the most golf courses in one town in my whole county, at least, I think.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah.
It's like old golf course, you know. It's funny. But I know you were up late last night. You said you were tired because you were actually looking for articles, so I appreciate your diligence in current events. And what do you got this week? I know there's some interesting ones.
Yeah, here's something, Marty, called Business in a Box. I think this is through American Airlines, Celebrated
really?
Living. Yeah,
wow.
That's how detailed my search is.
Wow.
Starting a new venture can be daunting, but with an established business model and a strong support network, you can improve your odds for success, even in today's economy. Here's why franchising is hotter than ever. Mark Hendricks wrote this article. About the time Duncan McDonald decided to move back to Burlington, Vermont, he learned of a franchise business that sold pre-owned sporting goods. I thought this would be a great idea for the Burlington area because it's so sports-oriented, says McDonald, with several years of experience working in Colorado ski areas.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he ran into John Rando one time.
Yeah, there you go.
At a sporting goods retailer, McDonald felt his own background also fit. In 93, as the U.S. economy was emerging from an earlier recession, McDonald opened Played Against Sports, and that's what he's done for a living ever since. For the most part, I enjoy what I do, and there's a lot to be said for that, he says. And you're working for yourself. You're not going to get a pink slip unless you sink the ship. More than 900,000 franchise establishments run by people like McDonald dot the American landscape, according to the Washington, D.C.-based IFA. While many other fields anticipate retrenchment in a tumultuous economy, franchising looks for its numbers to swell as laid-off, downsized, and burned-out ex-employees sign on. We're expecting a huge flood of those types of franchisees coming into the marketplace, as Michael Side, a franchise consultant in West Hartford, Connecticut.
Right.
Besides the prospect of independence, most new franchisees come in search of proven business models, training, marketing, support, cooperative buying power, and the ability to tap into a community of other owners. By and large, most franchises deliver those benefits to varying degrees. The retail system behind Played Against Sports, for instance, has been owned since the first one opened in Minneapolis in 83, and today operates in about 365 locations around the country, according to Steve Murphy, president of franchising, the parent company, Winmark Corp.
Hmm.
And they talk about how much it costs to open up the franchise. And he says, you can look back and say, I could have done some of this stuff myself, says McDonald, but there are some advantages to franchising. It takes some of the unknown out of starting your business. It's still a big challenge, but some of the risks are mitigated. Estimates of risks faced by franchisees vary widely. Many franchisers quote 1980s-era research that found fewer than 4% of franchise operations fail each year, considerably below the rate of other businesses. Other studies have found, however, that franchises offer little advantage compared to independent businesses and may impose some penalty because of the burden of royalties to be paid.
Interesting.
I think the failure rate's slightly higher as time has gone on, and certainly there's many studies done that franchising has a lower failure rate than a non-franchise startup. Overall, interesting article. This guy went about franchising, you know, about 25 years ago. He's had success and likes what he's doing.
It's amazing when they've been doing it for such a long time, you know, a quarter of a century, you know. It's
right.
And I was, you know, love to have these, you know, kind of guests on the show. I think they'd make fantastic guests because they've seen a lot of changes in franchising too. But obviously, you know, this person, if you're in it for 25 years, they know how to follow a system. They know how to make franchising work, you know. So
right.
They'd probably be successful no matter what type of franchise it was because they have that ability to follow a system. So I think it's a great article.
Yeah, it's a good point. Here's something from Dallas Business Journal. 7-Eleven recruits veterans as franchisees.
Yeah.
Convenience store retailer 7-Eleven is offering discounted franchise fees to retired or separated veterans of the U.S. Armed Forces. The chain plans to open 200 new stores this year, said store spokesman Margaret Chabris. All new stores will be franchised, she said. Nationally, there are 1,300 stores available for franchising. And it says veterans who have been honorably discharged from the services and are first-time 7-Eleven franchisees will receive a 10% discount on the initial franchise fee. This can translate to a savings of $1,000 up to $35,000, according to the company. 7-Eleven said a franchise costs $50,000 to $300,000, depending on the store type, size, and location. This is the first time we have offered a reduction like this of our franchise fees, and I can't think of a better group to receive this benefit than the men and women who have so selflessly served to protect the freedoms we enjoy in America, says Joe DiPinto, 7-Eleven president and CEO. DiPinto himself is a graduate of the military academy at West Point, served for 5 years as an officer in the U.S. Army.
Wow, this is I think it's a hot topic for me because, you know, going for my doctorate, my dissertation topic is going to be on veterans and franchising. That's what it looks like it's going to be at this point. And my theory is that, you know, veterans, do they make better franchisees? It was a great line in that article. I didn't want to steal your thunder. I think it was the last last line of that article, Don. It's a retired military.
Right.
Is a good audience for 7-Eleven, as they have an inherent level of discipline and structure through training. I don't know if you agree with that or disagree with that.
Definitely agree.
Yeah, it just sounds like, you know, for me it's always been a theory that they would be a perfect match. Not everyone that has served in the military, you know, would be a perfect match for franchising. I'm sure there's some great, true entrepreneurs that could create their own system. But I think overall, I mean, the ones that I've worked with, I've had a lot of students. They've been very disciplined, you know, and I think they'd have this ability to follow a system like a Subway or
right.
a John Rick or even, you know, a Parmaster's, whatever that may be. But, yeah, so, I mean, I thought this was a great article, and it's good to see that 7-Eleven is doing something like this, you know, to give back. You know, we have a lot of
right.
our guys coming back now, and, you know, I don't, you know, are their jobs still there for them, or, you know, they might want to look into franchise opportunities. So,
yeah, I mean, it's all about controlling your own destiny in a time where things are so out of control. And, you know, the job unemployment's up, job market overall is rough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what we've been talking about for 3 years. So,
right, absolutely.
These are nice stories, and.
7-Eleven,
by
the way.
In the past, I was just going to say, Marty, we've read articles in the past. There have been so many successful ex-military people being very successful in franchising.
We've had some on the show. I think, again, we've done so many up to this point. But I think, was Daryl Buchanan, wasn't he a military?
Right.
I'm pretty sure he was.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Allegra Network, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've had military franchisees or franchisors on the show. There's a great organization out there. Called VetFran, for our listeners, you know, if you are in the military or you're a veteran, it's another great organization.
Right.
That lists all the franchisors, you know, that offer discounts to our veterans. And it doesn't matter with VetFran too, Don, if you've served, it doesn't matter what war you served in, you know, Vietnam War, Korean conflict, whatever, you know, World War II, you're still eligible for the discount. You know, it's a way of giving back to the veteran community. So I think it's a wonderful thing. I love to see that.
Yeah, definitely. Here's something, Marty. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution by Joe Guy Collier. Niche.
This was the one that you found, that you said last night. It was at 3:30 you were reading the papers?
3:20.
3:20, okay.
Premium burger joints are popping up all around Atlanta, and analysts doesn't see that trend ending anytime soon. This is pretty incredible. I'll tell you why in a second.
Mm-hmm.
Scott and Don Harris, brothers and business partners, have spent 25 years in the burger business as owners of Wendy's franchises.
Hmm.
When they were looking a few years ago to become franchisees of a new concept, the Harris brothers were drawn again to burgers. Last year, they opened a Roswell outlet for The Counter, a California-based burger chain, and they plan 5 more in Metro Atlanta in the next 5 years. You can always go back to the hamburger as this one basic element of American society, Scott Harris said. Give me a great hamburger, and you'll have a following. Decades after Ray Kroc started a fast food empire with a franchising deal from McDonald's, a second generation of hamburger chains is spreading across the U.S. and Metro Atlanta. They offer slightly pricier burgers, typically $5 to $10 for their mainstay items, and feature handmade patties from fresh ground beef. In the past 5 years, Five Guys Burgers and Fries, based in Virginia, has put almost 30 restaurants in the Atlanta area. Cheeseburger Bobby's, a Kennesaw-based chain, started last year, has 4 outlets in the area. Expects to add a couple more. Canyon's Burger Company, also based in Atlanta, has opened 2 outlets since 07, expects to open up to 10 more in Atlanta area in the next 3 years. California-based Fatburger and Florida-based Evo's have also entered the Atlanta market. If you live in Atlanta and you don't like hamburgers, you better change your tune there.
There you go.
Hamburger chains represent the largest and still one of the fastest-growing restaurant segments in the U.S., according to Chicago market research firm Technomic. What else does it say here? Burger outlets are growing on 2 different fronts, says Darren Tristino. The traditional chains, McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's, are broadening their menus with chicken sandwiches, beverages, breakfast. This has left an opening for a better burger category to emerge that focuses on the premium hamburger.
Hmm.
The recession could slow down growth on a number of units for the new burger chains. Some customers might trade down temporarily to save money. But the long-term trends remain positive. I don't think it's anywhere near a saturation point. In fact, it's probably 5 more years of good growth before you even begin to see it flatten. What's amazing about it is just, you know, just competition. It's just amazing how a new chain can come in and grab some market share, and it's just you know, just incredible. That's a major franchise area in the country. We've talked about Atlanta, Georgia as well.
Oh, absolutely. It's like it's becoming one of those like communities, like a franchise community, kind of like Denver's been, right? I mean, it's a lot of seen a lot of concepts.
Not only for franchise businesses, but where franchisors have their corporate office.
Right. No, absolutely. It's very true. You know, it's interesting.
And staying on that, Marty, this is something, This Is Money Franchising, Double Up for the Twice the Profit by Linda Whitney.
Mm-hmm.
A franchise can be the start of a business empire. Many franchisors encourage successful franchisees to take on extra outlooks. Domino's actively encourages its franchisees to develop their business into multiple units, says Andy Hurst of Domino's Pizza. If a franchisee has proven skills operating one store, it makes sense that they apply their experience to further units. 60% of Domino's franchisees have more than one outlet. 40% own more than three. One owns six stores and another eight. So a pretty high percentage of Domino's franchisees are multiple units. Domino's helps them identify sites and secure planning permission. The company's looking for new franchisees. Any franchisee looking to open multiple stores should have a vision of where they want to be in the medium to long term and set a strategy that will help them achieve their goals. And that's a good point going into franchising. And I discussed this on the financing end when we're talking to people because they're so concerned with just getting the loan for that one unit. But what's your long-term goal?
True.
You know, we try to talk about their long-term goal for financing and making sure you're in position to have some down payment money for your second location a year from now or more. And, you know, people putting together their business plan should definitely have a one-year, five-year, even a 10-year strategy. And most people go into franchising, most franchises, you want to have multiple units. That's, you know, that's how you expand and grow and gain wealth.
That's an interesting point, yeah. I mean, I think you're right about that. You know, I think when, again, you know best with these things is, when someone's looking to buy a franchise, I think they are thinking just that one unit initially, you know? And
right. You're
right, they should be looking at the big picture. And I think a lot of times they're not. I mean, really, I mean, if just to just buy one unit, I mean, that's okay. But, if you look at the guys that have been very, very successful on our show, your Jim Rudolphs, you know? I mean, here's a gentleman, you know, Jim spoke about, you know, he was the CEO of Rita's now, but I can't remember how many Wendy's he owned.
He made his wealth owning with his family a bunch of Wendy's. I think it was like over 20. It was
with his brother, I think it was like 40-something. I know the numbers were in the 40s, but, I mean, he achieved tremendous success through franchising. He didn't just, you know, say, okay, I'm going to be content with one unit of a Wendy's franchise. You know, I mean, he saw early on the big picture, you know, and he was having 46 of them, you know, and I think that's what you want, you know, is Michael Gerber once said, and we're going to try to have him back on the show, hopefully, you know, in the next several months, is, you know, people fail because they think too small, you know, not because they think too big. I always thought that was a powerful quote when he said that, you know, and I agree with that. See,
yeah, you should always think big. You should always go into something, you know, and you know, also, you know, look at best case, worst case. But you have to stay positive. You have to think big.
The whole thing, too, though. You know, I mean, we've had this debate on numerous occasions on our show. Is should you do that initially, though? When we had Julie Bennett, she was the author of the Franchise Times book. I can't remember the whole title. It was a pretty big title, but she felt that you shouldn't buy multiple units right away, you know, and she had a good point when she was mentioning that. And then we've had others on the show that said, no, you know, I mean, get them while you have the chance, you know, I mean, because if you don't, then you lose that opportunity perhaps to somebody else, you know. So this is something that we could have a debate on probably for hours, you know, is do you start off initially buying multiple units or do you just buy one unit, see if you're happy, and then, you know, buy another one, you know? So I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. Again, we've been back and forth, ping-ponging, you know. So we'll have to save that debate, I guess, for probably for another show, won't we? But
we'll just keep asking the experts their thought on that. That should be a question we try to tie in a lot of times.
That's true. There you go. So Great job on segment one, Don, once again, you know, and hopefully you'll be able to get some sleep today. You know, I know you're usually up late on a Wednesday night, so so great job, and we'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Big now!
Okay, you've got my attention.
It's a rare event in the world of franchising when an opportunity comes your way that can and will thrive in almost any economic environment. It's here, and its name is Big Mouth Advertising.
Big Mouth.
BMA is a leader in the exciting world of mobile media advertising. Why is mobile media advertising able to defy the economic cycles? The answer is obvious. In times of economic weakness, advertising is crucial for survival as a consumer dollar is scarce and the competition fierce. What is mobile media? It's the newest and fastest growing segment in the advertising world. Mobile media brings the message directly to the consumer. Mobile media goes to the consumer in traffic where he eats and where he plays. It quite simply cannot be turned off or thrown out. And when you join the Big Mouth team as a franchisee, you are joining the best. The Big Mouth advantage is simple and successful. We invest in a strong infrastructure and in great people. As a franchisee, you have access to this entire system, including telemarketing, sales maximization, general and administrative support, design and creative services, even billing and collection services. All you need is a mobile media vehicle, a driver, and the willingness to create a financially sound and limitless business for yourself. There are no long-term leases to sign, no expensive build-outs, no office personnel to hire. You will be part of the Big Mouth Advertising community and share its entire website and reception services, as well as its complete back-office services. This virtual office guarantees you the freedom to close those sales that will make you a success. We are so proud of our successes that we have voluntarily disclosed our revenue statements. Now, how many other franchises are doing that? Even in these historically rough financial times, Big Mouth Advertising has become a dominant force in the mobile media industry. Join the Big Mouth team and take the first step toward financial freedom. Please call Ron at 888-98-GO-BIG. That's 888-98-GO-BIG.
Big Mouth!
Need a business loan? Talk to Diamond Financial Services, the experts in franchise financing nationwide. Whether you're looking to start a franchise, acquire an existing franchise, or expand your territory through opening new locations, Diamond Financial stands by your side start to finish. From pre-qualification to packaging and presenting your application to securing a financial commitment and through the loan closing process, Diamond Financial is there. While you're waiting, thousands of others are making their financial dreams come true. Don't wait any longer. Pre-qualify now by completing a confidential, no-obligation financial analysis. Let's face it, traditional banks just aren't in the business of financing small business. At Diamond Financial, we specialize in securing franchise loans from $100,000 to $3 million and equipment leasing up to $150,000. Let us help you get started. Go to www.franchisefunding.net or call 877-508-2274. That's franchisefunding.net, 877-508-2274.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And as we were saying earlier, Don, we have a great show today. We're meeting with Tom Aspen, and Tom is an established North American expert in helping entrepreneurs and business owners to achieve a successful balance in their business, financial, and family lives. He's helped over 200 businesses, has extensive training and background in management, sales, marketing, business development, systemization, and franchising. And as we were saying earlier, he's also currently the president and CEO of Aegis Investment Management Company. Hey, Tom, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for having me here.
Oh, my pleasure, Tom. Tom, joining us is my co-host, Don Johnson. And I know, Don, you wanted to say good morning to Tom.
Tom, appreciate you coming on. We're excited to hear about everything to do with Aegis, what's under the umbrella, and how you're helping people better their game out there. Appreciate you coming on.
You bet.
Tom, we always like to start off asking our guests, where are you calling from this morning, to get an idea of what the weather is over there?
I am from beautiful Vancouver right now,
nice.
God's country. It's sunny, and the mountains are smiling away. So we're
sure is beautiful there, absolutely.
It's the right time of year to ask me where I'm calling from.
Absolutely, most definitely. Tom, what were you doing before getting involved with all these different opportunities? And I guess, how did you get involved in franchising?
It's thanks for asking. I was an entrepreneur coach for some 20 years. In fact, I was an E-Myth Mastery Coach with Michael Gerber. I heard
wow.
you talking about him earlier.
Yeah.
Michael and I worked together for a number of years. I spent most of my time in the early years helping people increase the sales in their business. I would come in and
wow.
and typically they'd call me when they were desperate, and we would come in and over time I evolved a program where we would guarantee a 30% increase in sales. We typically would double the company sales in 30 to 45 days. I got very good at it, made a lot of money at it, and had a lot of fun. But I also realized that, selling time for money is fine when you're young and, full of piss and vinegar and you want to go 80 hours a week. But eventually that's going to get weak. And so I said, I got to start planning my transition into something a little bit more residual, and started working with clients to help them turnkey their business and in some cases franchise it. And I decided that instead of just charging fees, I would take a piece of the revenue stream and start building my own residual income strategy. That evolved into an entire franchise development company that I did for 7.5 years. And one of the clients that hired me to do their initial research, I then bought into the company and eventually bought out the founders about a year later, and that's Parmasters, the predecessor of what we now call Aegis Investment Management. So for me, I've been involved in startups for most of my business career since college, and I love it. I've started, 28 businesses of my own.
Wow.
As I like to say, some were successful, some weren't, and some were spectacular flops.
Right.
So it's been a lot of fun, and I've worked with several hundred entrepreneurs and their businesses over that period of time as well.
Well, to be successful, you got to have some of those flops,
right,
there's no
absolutely.
Doubt about it. And you've had a lot of success, many companies. We're big Michael Gerber fans. He's been on this show a couple of times, Tom. And
yeah, I saw that off your site. And he actually has a message that is so profound and so simple. And to me, that's some of the best communicators. If you can have a profound message that's simple to get across, most business owners don't understand the difference between working on their business or working in their business.
True.
They really don't.
Yeah,
they think
true.
They do sometimes when you talk to them, but
right.
when you ask them, well, what do you do to work on your business? They describe, making the products and services, it's fascinating. Michael's done a real service to entrepreneurs. I remember the first time I read the E-Myth, or back then it was the E-Myth, now the E-Myth Revisited. The first third of the book depressed the heck out of me because I saw myself.
Right.
I saw
yeah.
myself as a small business owner, doing it, as he likes to say. And I went, there's got to be a better way to do this. And I also saw that with my clients. When I was a marketing consultant, I would come in and typically we double their sales. And there were times where they weren't happy with that.
Right.
And I'm not saying it wasn't enough. I'm saying that they were double and they were really upset at me. And it took me a long time to figure out that it was because they didn't have the systems in place to handle double the sales.
Right.
So I caused way more chaos than I was solving by doubling their sales, and that was a real seminal moment for me when I realized that it was all about if you're gonna truly have, my last book was called Earn Twice as Much with Half the Stress, and if you are going to earn twice as much with half the stress, you have to create a business that works with or without you.
Right.
Right. If you have to be there, then you've got a job. And if it's your business, then you got a job with economic risk, which frankly is the worst of both worlds. So.
True, right.
So yeah. You're making people more money, Tom, but with that comes additional strength, more work, worse lifestyle. Is that what was happening, I guess, a little bit, right?
Yeah, and I, you know, I often talk about an example of this clothing store that I work with, that we got, typically we would put four strategies in place and two would hit it really hard, and that's what it would take to double their sales. And in this case, the first strategy we did knocked it out of the park and doubled her sales in about 3 weeks.
Wow.
But her staff were so stressed and her staff were so poorly trained and poorly motivated that most of them were either quit or fired in the next 4 weeks.
Wow.
And she realized that she really didn't have the systems in place to grow that much, and so she completely retrenched, took about 9 months and really got her systems side together, figured out, you know, what type of people should she be hiring, really, truly, what type of people should she be hiring, and went after that, and then put a system in place to train them and support them, and now has a, you know, thriving business, and that was about 10 years ago. She still is strong and operating in a fabulous situation. So, you know, for people listening in, if you're in business right now, and, you know, this is the benchmark that I use. You take 4 weeks off from your business. You never call in. You never check emails. You never check messages. And you come back after 4 weeks. How will your business be running? And for most of us, it'll be in the tube.
Exactly.
It'll be a disaster mode. And the real standard is it running as well or better than when you left? And that's a tough standard. I know two businesses that are truly at that state. Ours isn't there yet. Not truly at that state, not where you could leave 4 weeks and it's better than when you left. But I know two, and to me, that's sort of the gold bar standard,
right,
when looking at any business, let alone franchising, which has, you know, even more risks and even more rewards.
Wow. We're going to have to put that in. Yeah,
go ahead,
Tom. We're going to have to put that on our podcast, Great Quotes and Franchise. We have a podcast, Tom, you know, Great Quotes, and it's just, that's very powerful what you just said, you know, because it's so true, you know. It's really a great example.
And I was just going to mention, Tom, I mean, you have all this experience. You've known so many entrepreneurs. I mean, you've done so much. Obviously, you're the perfect guy to be in charge right now. I was just going to go on to the next question and, you know, tell us about these franchise opportunities. There's really three of them, and maybe mix in a little bit of history as well, please.
Sure. A client of mine was in the hockey training business and was approached by a gentleman that said, we want to do what you're doing in hockey in golf. And he came to me and said, you know, I've been approached by this guy. I'm thinking about doing it. What do you think? And I said to Pete, the company is called Puckmasters. I said, Pete, I said, you don't have the working capital. You don't have the bandwidth. You don't have the time right now to take on a new project. You know, say no to the guy. And Pete kept calling me back and said, you know, the guy won't leave me alone, and we really want to talk to you, Tom, and we really want to get together. And finally I said, okay, listen, let's meet. This is about 9 months of this. And I realized with Pete was one of these guys that was so stubborn that if I didn't meet with him to talk about it, he'd keep calling me for the next 10 years. So I met with him primarily to blow him off. And I got some data from the other gentleman about the golf industry. I had no idea how big it was. At the time, I wasn't a golfer. I watched it on TV. I did some corporate tournaments, but, you know, as I would tell my friends, I never hit a ball sober in my life at that point. And I had no idea that it was, you know, a $40 billion industry in direct sales in the U.S. alone, and that there were, you know, 25 to 28 million people, you know, what active golfers and millions joining the sport every year. I had no idea.
Yeah, it's big.
So well, I said to the guys, I said, well, I tell you what, why don't we put together a estimate of what it would take to do proper research and then go out and see how long it takes to raise that money and how much equity we have to give up. And let's use that as our sort of common sense corner feasibility study. It's something that I've recommended to clients all the time. You can do all the feasibility analysis you want, but the best way to check an idea out is to ask people you know for a check to invest in your company. Because all of a sudden, you go to Uncle Joe and ask him for a check, you're going to find out what Uncle Joe really thinks about your idea.
Absolutely.
Right? And so we figured out we needed about $100,000 to do the research properly, so I doubled the budget to $200,000, because I've learned a long time ago, you never have enough money for proper research. And we said, okay, we'll go ahead and see how long it takes to raise the $200,000 and how much equity we have to give up. And that'll decide whether or not we're going to get into this golf business. And one phone call, 4 hours long, and the money was raised. 48 hours later, it was in our accounts, and zero equity was given up, just a piece of future sales.
Wow.
And I went, these golfers are different. Because what it was a golfer who knew what they were doing, what we were doing in the hockey training world, and said, if you can do that in golf, this is a massive global project. I'm in. Let's go. And so that started us down the path. But I also had a commitment. I saw a lot of startup businesses come and go, and I saw a lot of franchises really abuse the relationship between the team headquarters and the individual franchise owners over the years. In fact, I used to do seminars at the International Franchise Expo on why most franchises are a ripoff and what you can do about it. They wouldn't let me call it that, as you could imagine, Marty, at the show.
Yeah, I was going to say.
So we renamed it. It was called the 123 Secrets of Selecting a Great Franchise. But that was the message. And interestingly, they supported the message. They just didn't want to call it that in the brochure,
right,
of course.
Right. Oh,
I decided that if we were going to do this, we were going to set it up strongly and put the systems in place before we started building sites and selling franchises. Had I known that it would take 6 years and about $8.5 million before that time happened, I probably would have just opened up a site.
Funny.
But as we got into it, it was fascinating to see the space. And we started with our brand called Parmasters, mm-hmm. Parmasters Golf Training Centers. And what Parmasters is an executive fitness center for golfers. It's the world's first year-round indoor golf training center franchise that literally guarantees results. And they're large facilities, 15 to 25,000 square feet, typically $1.5 million to $2.5 million to build. And they're, you know, the ultimate facility for golfers to train and learn and play and grow their sport. And that was where we started. And before we opened our first site, we had built some 6,250 pages of operations and training manuals. The past president of the International Franchise Association, in fact, called us the most advanced startup in the history of franchising. We really saw the need to put the systems in place first before we started opening up sites. I don't know if you guys know this, Don, you might with your background on the franchise financing side, but just because it's called a franchise doesn't mean the economic odds of success are any better than if it's not a franchise.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The SBA only tracked this data once, and they did it for 6 years. And it was so controversial that the franchise associations lobbied them to stop counting the data. We've got to love that transparency model. But
sure.
The failure rate of independent businesses in the first 6 years, 62.8%, according to the SBA.
Right.
The failure rate of franchises in 6 years, 64.1%. So the failure rate's actually slightly higher.
Wow.
And what's the myth?
I haven't seen that figure. You're saying of a new franchise, this is across the board, all franchises,
this
first
was
six
all,
years, over 60%?
Yeah, and the SBA only tracked it once, and I got my hand on the source data because when I first heard that, I'm a nut for verifying data points, you know, because the industry terms are 80% likely to succeed, 90% mm-hmm. likely to succeed.
Right.
You've heard all the numbers.
Right.
But that wasn't my experience. A lot of my clients, when I was a marketing consultant, were franchisees that were failing. And I saw it all the time, big names, names you would recognize. And I would look at their marketing systems and I'd go, well, this is a joke. And they're like, well, yeah, I know. That's why we called you. And we're like, well, but you're paying all this. I'm saying you're paying all this money to your franchise. Why are they not giving you marketing strategies that work? And they're like, well, I don't know. We didn't know they didn't have anything when we bought it. Which is another thing to just shake my head, but that's where they were. And so I would get into this. And so my common sense corner said the failure rate's a lot higher than the industry is telling. Later I learned that where that data comes from is partly because the way the UFOC or now the FDD tracks failure rates, it double counts turnarounds. I don't know if you guys know that or not, but if I'm operating a site in January and I close my doors, and then the franchise replaces me in December and a new guy comes on board, they count that the one unit is still operating and one new guy came on board.
Oh, okay.
So they count it as two plus and one minus. And of course, it's really a zero, right? Like up one, down one, up one. You're even. You're not up at all. So that was where some of the data came from. But the, generally speaking, the industry doesn't want people to know that franchises fail because, you know, they want you to know that if you buy a franchise, you're going to make money automatically. And I think far too many companies are in franchising that shouldn't be. They're not adding value to the equation. They're not adding value to their customers. They really don't understand what they're doing. So anyway, off
well,
on
I agree with you
but,
on that. Yeah, definitely. Right. There's franchises that should have more of a history or track record before they start the concept, or if they start off having some, you know, locations that are struggling, you should put a hold on everything until you fine tune the system. But that quote of over 60% fail rate, I'm not sure about that. But you're right, in financing, obviously the numbers have gone up the last couple of years with the economy and everything. And I track data of franchisees who obtained an SBA loan and what the failure rate is of just the people who are getting SBA loans investing in a franchise. But I've never seen that information, but it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, and I've got the source data on that. I'd be happy to send it to you guys to look at, because it's something that when I have private conversations with some of the leaders in the franchising space in what I call ethical franchising, mm-hmm. or what the industry legal team call collaborative franchising, they all know about it. They're all on board. They didn't know the exact number, but they know that it's a lot more than the myth is out there. But when I talk to a traditional franchisor, they're in complete denial. they refuse to accept the possibility that could be the reality of their space. And for me, the issue at hand is, you know, when you're looking to buy a franchise, what are you getting?
Right.
And, you know, there's half the franchises out there have less than 50 sites, according to FranData. You know, the median is 50.4 locations. So, you know, half the potential franchises are small. So small doesn't mean it's bad just in and of itself, but make sure that you know what you're getting, good, bad, and ugly. You know, what have they got that's working? What have they got that's not working? And that way you can make an informed decision.
So then what were some of the main reasons, Tom, why you then decided to franchise your concepts?
When I got involved in doing the initial research for what became ParMasters, I saw an industry that fit all the criteria that I was looking for what I call my home run or my legacy business piece.
Yeah.
It was a highly fractured industry with no dominant leader, where there was an opportunity for global growth. I wasn't gonna hang up my consulting cleats, if you will, unless there was an opportunity for a very large situation. And in the golfing industry, there are a lot of places to play. I don't know if you guys are afflicted with a golf disease. Are either of you?
No, we're not. Yeah.
Okay.
No, we don't
so
play. I was telling Marty earlier, there's five golf courses just in my town that I live in central Jersey.
And I actually live in a golf community, Tom, so I'm actually watching golf. So you can imagine, I see the addiction to the game, that's for sure. You know,
yeah, I mean,
the reason I haven't started was because I always felt it would take me too long to learn and become as good as a lot of these other guys that I'm watching. You know,
it's fascinating. Only one in six North Americans golf, but the ones that do can be so addicted to it. And I picked up the sport as we launched ParMasters a few years in. And I'm one of them now.
I crossed over and I
absolutely adore it. It's a ton of fun. We've got our regional franchisor conference coming up next week, and we're meeting for 3.5 days, and we're golfing three times.
That's
pretty interesting. You have upwards of 100 people already are interested in moving forward with ParMasters. People.
Yeah, we have 95 franchises awarded. That's what we call it when a franchise is sold, awarded, on the ParMaster brand. And then we have two other brands, the Lynx Golf Cafe and the Quantum Business Golf. And together, all together, we have 225 franchises awarded. With only two sites open and one a Quantum Business franchise operating. So with three operating locations, we have 225 franchises awarded. So our, you know, I called it the get-rich-slow approach, where we build all the systems first.
Right.
And then open up and start expanding. The strategy was that it would have much better opportunity for global success and would be much stronger as we grew. It's still too soon to tell whether we're geniuses or fools with this approach, but we're pretty excited. And in fact, Don, we're building one in your neck of the woods. Do you know the Xanadu project in Meadowlands?
Yes, because of Giant Stadium, yeah.
Yeah, on Giant Stadium parking lot. We're putting a 20,000 square foot ParMasters in there.
Wow.
And
we're
pretty excited about it. It's going to be a phenomenal mall. I've been through it a couple times now in the construction phase, and And there's some guys that have talk about thinking big. I heard that
right.
comment when I was waiting for the interview section to start, and there's some guys who thought big. I love
oh,
it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
That should be a home
location.
Run. That's a,
sure.
I mean, the whole world yeah. goes to that location there. That's where everything comes together, all the major roads, sports, hotels, everything's right.
110 million cars a year go by that off-ramp.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it, absolutely.
How insane is that?
Tom, we have to take a quick break. Can you stick around for another segment?
I can. I've got a business golf seminar at the top of the hour, but I can stay for the next 10 easily.
Fantastic. Thanks, Tom. We'll be right back with more franchise interviews.
Are you one of those special people who are willing to go after your dreams and goals? Are you ready to fulfill that dream of owning your own business with the security of a proven brand? The opportunity to take control of your future and own a Rita's Italian Ice franchise is within your reach.
Rita's is seeking success-oriented individuals who are ready to make a change in their life, and Rita's offers unparalleled training and support to assure your success. And did you know, the frozen treat industry is a recession-proof industry, and there are Rita's in 23 states currently with 540 stores open. Rita's Italian Ice has been around for 25 years and is listed as a top-performing franchise by the Wall Street Journal.
Now here's the really good part. Rita's Italian Ice is a unique and amazing taste treat. It's smoother than a snow cone, and it combines ice with real fresh fruit. The real fruit adds dramatically to the taste, and it comes in over 40 flavors. The ice and fruit are mixed on site and made fresh daily, and it is delicious.
You'll want to know more about this exciting and successful franchise opportunity. Go to www.ownaritas.com and get all your questions answered. That's www.ownaritas.com to take control of your dreams and future today. You don't want to wait any longer to be a part of this adventure. www.ownaritas.com. Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And today, Don, we're meeting with Tom Mathen, who's an established North American expert in helping entrepreneurs and business owners to achieve a successful balance in their business, financial, and family lives, which is very important. And I think I'm up, Don. I wanted to hit the next question. Tom, one of the things that Don and I have seen, especially over the last year, is we have a lot of people coming from corporate America going into franchising. Why are so many people unhappy in the corporate world right now?
Well, the anecdotal data is that 70% of the people hate their job all the time. I don't know. I've never seen any actual research to back that up. What I have seen is that a lot of people people in work in corporate environment fall into two categories, the overachievers and the underachievers. Uh-huh. And the overachievers, I think that's the category that gets drawn to franchising and starting their own business, because after a certain point of time, they go, you know, I'm making all this money for my boss or for my company, and I don't think I'm getting my fair share of it.
Right.
And it, you know, whether unless someone's in a, even if someone's in direct sales, they're not getting all of the profit on a transaction, obviously, because, you know, that the company's got to survive as well. And so I think the real overachiever types tend to look at it. And the second thing is, you know, to be an overachiever in a corporate setting, you have to put in the hours.
True.
And there, you know, I haven't seen a situation in most corporate worlds, environments, where you can actually earn more by working less. And so I think the other thing that happens, you know, Michael Gerber called it, you know, the purpose of a business is more life. I think it's the purpose of a business is more life and more profits. I think you need to combine the two. But more life is the ability, in, at least for most of us, to do whatever we want with our time, to not necessarily have to show up at work, but to be involved in what we love to do. And so I think people, when they get, especially when they get in their 40s and 50s, they're looking at lifestyle. They're looking at their lifestyle. They're saying, you know, I'm on the road 3 weeks of the month. I hardly ever see my family. You know, my kids have grown up and they barely knew their dad or their mom or whatever the case may be. And they say, you know, I want to change that. I want to have an environment. And in owning your own business, especially if you can do it successfully and build multiple revenue streams, is one of the best ways to have that lifestyle. I mean, if you've got a well-run operation and you've got a general manager in there running it properly and you've got the systems and you can track and monitor your critical success factors, you don't have to be there. And obviously that takes work and effort and the right concept and executing the strategies, but it's possible when you're self-employed and building a number of businesses. It's not very possible as a corporate employee. And so I to me, Marty, I think that's where a lot of the shift comes from. And then, of course, the recession speeds that up because a lot of people are invited out the door that otherwise thought they didn't have to change careers forever. And, you know, some are given golden parachutes and some are just given a kick in the butt. And some are somewhere in between. But for the most part, it's jarring. You know, it's, you know, people would ask me, who's your ideal target audience for the Parmasters franchise or for the Lynx Golf Cafe? And I would say a frustrated mid or senior level executive that's sick and tired of making money for other people that just got a kick in the butt out of the company.
So they're highly motivated. Well,
yeah, they're highly motivated because unfortunately most of us don't make proactive life changes. Most of us make reactive life changes.
Right?
I mean, you know, even think about how we found our spouse, right? Most people run into somebody that they end up dating that ends up becoming who they love. Very few people you hear, they say, well, you know, I made a list. I got really clear on what I wanted. And then I went to places where those type of people hung out. And I pursued a strategy of finding a spouse. Yeah, it's not most people's story.
that's
a pretty big decision. Right, and let alone, you know, starting a career path or businesses of your own. And so for me, you know, that's part of it. And in fact, I'd love to offer your listeners, there's a free report that I send out on how to find the business of your dreams.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was part of one of the books that I wrote. And to me, the real path is, you know, obviously if you're passionate about golf, we'd love to talk to you. But, for you know, only one in six are.
Right.
And so most people are going to be passionate about something else. And I put this together because I would have people come to me and say, I want to start my own business. And they're like, well, I'd say, what business do you want to do? And they're like, well, I want to get in the coffee business. And I say, well, why? And they say, well, because there's a lot of money to be made.
Exactly.
And I'll be like, well, yeah, but do you like coffee? And they're like, no, I don't like coffee at all. I'm like, well, what are you doing? Are you nuts?
How can our listeners, Tom, get more information on all these great opportunities and that free report that you were mentioning? Is there any websites that they can go to or refer to?
Absolutely. For free report, they can just email info@parmastersfranchise.com.
Okay.
Parmasters with an S, parmastersfranchise.com, and ask for the report on how to find the business of your dreams. And that main site links to all of our other sites and all of our other brands. They're welcome to check that out, especially if they're passionate about golf. We'd love to show them what we're all about.
That's fantastic. And I want to thank you again, Tom. You've been an incredible guest, and I think Don and I would love to have you back again for another hour. I think there's a lot more to talk about.
Definitely, Tom.
Happy to do it anytime, gentlemen.
More of your experience and some of your books, we should definitely have you on sometime soon.
Absolutely.
You got it, gentlemen. Just let me know.
Thanks so much, Tom. Have a great day. Great show, huh, Don?
Yeah, very interesting
Very
guy
informative,
with a lot
you
of
know,
experience.
I mean,
he's an expert.
Yeah, I could have spoken to him for another hour. I mean, just had a dozen more questions.
I couldn't believe how quickly the time went. I looked up, it's a quarter till. I'm like, what?
I know, it just wasn't enough time today. It's just, but right. That means we're having a good time, right? So,
yeah.
So great job, Don, today on segment one and throughout the rest of the show. And thanks to our listeners. And go to franchiseinterviews.com, franchisefunding.net, and gofranchise.com. And I guess I'll be talking to you next week, right, Don?
Yep. Great, Marty. Good
Thanks,
job.
Thanks, Don. Have a great day. Thanks,
care.
Everyone, for listening.